If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am speaking with Lanaya Knox, who was state champ hurdler, off to college now, Georgia Southern.
Yes.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You sound nervous.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I like talking about things I'm passionate about, so.
All right. Let's see what you got then.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I'm from New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay. What neighborhood?
The Tray, some people call it, but Elm Street is where I grew up on, the street I grew up on. Yeah.
Okay. You seem very nice.
Yeah.
Just tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
So like I said, I grew up on Elm Street. I have four siblings, two brothers, two sisters. I'm really close with my older sister. You know, we talk every day. And she's been one of like my hugest supporters throughout this whole journey, with my sport. And you know, getting involved in the sport was kind of like, it was a process in like getting myself started with athletics. And obviously it all started from high school. And freshman year, I wasn't really doing anything because COVID year hit my eighth grade year. So when I graduated middle school, it was just all like weird. We didn't really have like an actual graduation because COVID had everything all messed up. So that was kind of weird for me. And then once I transitioned into high school, freshman year, like I said, I wasn't doing anything. And then sophomore year was when I was like, okay, now that we're back like from virtual and we're back from like all the things being like through the screen. Now it's time to like get myself involved in something, like get out the house, like do something. And so I actually did, like a lot of people think I started out with track. Like I've been doing track for like a really long time since I was young, but I actually started my sophomore year and it wasn't with track. Like when I started my athletic career, it wasn't with track and field. It was with volleyball. So once I got involved with volleyball, we were doing a drill during the practice. Like it was like tryouts, but it was like they were simulating like a practice, and we had to do like a drill where we run from one side of the gym to the other side of the gym. So, and at this time, like I'm in checkered Vans, like I was not in like actual athletic attire to be like trying out for volleyball. Like I just wore, I showed up high, like the best I could, like, and I just tried out. And so I'm running from one side of the gym to the other. And the volleyball coach is like, oh my gosh, like you're really fast. Like I'm gonna tell the track coach about you. And you know, we're laughing it off. Like I'm laughing at it. I'm thinking like nothing of it. I didn't think anything of it until that following Friday, my mom said that she got a call from like the track coach and they like wanted me to come in. So I feel like ever since that moment, that's when I realized like when I actually went in and I tried the sport and I got used to like the practices, because it's very different. Volleyball and track is very, very different. And so it was a huge adjustment for me, but I was also like, okay, I think I can do this. And I feel like ever since then, like, it's just been positivity. Like, it's been a lot of positivity. And it has its ups and downs, most definitely, but a lot of my career has been positive moments and positive moments that have came from negativity, little negative moments that's happened to me. It's like, everything negative that's happened was actually a positive outcome. Like I learned to flip it and change it into something more positive.
There's a balance that you need to have academically. How much focus do you pay attention to your grades?
So freshman year, I feel like was the easiest year for me because when we were on virtual, there was nothing like in person. So, you know, doing everything through a computer screen, it had its like pros and cons. Like I was like, okay, I don't actually have to get up as early as I have to. But you know, when it came to like asking certain questions, like through the computer screen, it was kind of annoying, but overall freshman year was like, it was the easiest year for me. And then when sophomore year hit and then I started getting involved in the sports, I'm like, okay, now I have to figure out how I'm going to juggle like being an athlete, being a student, you know, because obviously being a student comes first before anything. And so, once sophomore year hit and I started to like see and understand that my schedule was no longer going to be the same how it was freshman year, I started to like learn different things and different strategies to balance my academics and my athletics. So I feel like once I got that down and I was able to like be like, okay, like this is how your schedule is going to be for the week. So you have to learn how to plan around it. And if you have like certain tests or certain important assignments, like make sure that that's being taken care of while also, you know, making sure that you're doing what you have to do sports wise. So I think I got the adjustment to it. And I think it all worked out from sophomore year up. It was good. It was a good experience for me.
Always learning, right? Yeah. And always, how important is it to be flexible? Like, you know, especially at a young age.
Yeah. I think being flexible is really important, especially at being at a young age, because it kind of prepares you. Well, it does. It prepares you for later in life, not just with athletics. Like I've learned to apply not only what I've learned in academics and athletics to like real life. Like being flexible, it can prepare me for working a job, being flexible, you know, working around other people who have the same, you know, flexibility as I do. And I think it just prepares you for real life situations, like being able to be flexible no matter what. Like if something you have planned out and you're like, okay, I have this planned and this is how I want it to go, and it doesn't work out, you have to learn how to be flexible in certain situations. So being a student athlete has definitely taught me to also be flexible in other areas in my life as well.
What were some of the, to say, hurdles you had to overcome
early on? Oh, I love talking about this. Yeah, I love talking about this because my college essays was about, I basically did a metaphor where like, if you think about hurdles, like obviously if you bring up the concept of hurdles to somebody, all they're going to think about is like track and field. But I made it into an idea that like everyone has their own personal hurdles in life. Like no matter if it's like getting a job or, you know, like finding a loved one or somebody that you know, like I just feel like everyone has their own personal hurdle in life. And that's what I use to apply in the essay to talk about like my personal hurdles. And I feel like my biggest personal hurdle for me that I had to accomplish and, you know, kind of get over and learn how to, you know, like we were talking about earlier, be flexible, was sophomore year. And mind you, I'm still new to this sport, track and field. And once I started, you know, really putting in the extra time, like once I figured out that track and field was now the sport that I was going to focus most of my time on, like I kind of put volleyball to the side and I was like, okay, I can get somewhere with this sport, so I'm going to put my extra time into it. You know, I'm going to put my extra work ethic and just put more energy into something where I know is going to get me to the next level in life, and that's college and further my education. So once I started, you know, getting serious with track, the results came, like the results showed like how much work I was putting in. And, you know, that qualified me for a lot of the top high level events and not events, like meets in track and field. So they have state championships, we have class championships, we have state opens, which is basically where, well, class championships is everyone who's in your class. So we were like, I think we were double M indoor, and everyone who's in that same class, we compete against each other. So I competed then, and I also competed at state opens. State opens, I believe I got second my sophomore year, which basically means like when you qualify for state opens and you run at state opens, whatever you place is basically like what your ranking is in the state. So because I placed second, I placed like second in the whole state. That was my ranking. And I was really excited about that. And so once I ran that race, I think that was the race that qualified me to run at a meet called Nationals. And Nationals is basically like a big step up from the state meets. It's like not only am I competing against people from the state, I'm competing against people like nationally. Like this is people from all over the world. Like, not all over the world, but all over the country. So people from Florida, Texas, Kansas, wherever, like I was competing against them. And so once I knew that I qualified for that, like it kind of set a light bulb off in my head. Like, okay, like all that hard work you've been putting in, like now it's time to double it because you're competing against really good people. Like, you know, you're good, but there are people out there who are like really, really good and you have to prepare yourself to compete against those people. So I was working really hard in practice, you know, getting myself prepared for the meet, and the meet day comes. And, you know, I'm really nervous. My nerves are all over the place. I'm just praying. I keep saying the same prayer over in my head, like, God, just guide my steps. You know, and to this day, I still say the same prayer, like, God, guide my steps, like, allow me to go out here and just put my best foot forward and perform to the best of my abilities. And once we got there, I start warming up. I'm getting ready to run my race. And I'm nervous. Like, at this point, I was nervous going into the meet. But when I actually stepped on the line and it was time for me to start, my nerves was just everywhere. Like, it was just a really, really vulnerable moment for me. And, you know, because I was so, like, focused on, not only was I nervous, because nerves are never going to go away, no matter what level you are competing in track and field, like, your nerves are never going to go away. But when it came to that moment right then and there, like, not only was I nervous because this was my first nationals, my first big meet ever, but I was also really, like, I was really concerned about how I was going to perform. I wanted to perform good. So I get on the line and, you know, the starter says set. And in my head, I feel like I heard a gun go off, but the gun didn't actually go off. And that caused me to false start, which is basically like jumping the gun, like you started before everyone else. And that, in that moment, I don't know what was going on in my head, because it was like a couple years ago. But now that I'm like actually thinking about it, like now I'm talking about it, I'm thinking back to the moment, like, I just remember being hit with like so many different emotions. Like, I was sad, I was angry. I feel like in that moment, I was more angry, because it's like, I put in all this hard work, you know, I'm just this sophomore that just randomly started the sport, like it wasn't even planned to start track and field. And I, you know, was so good starting out. And then I get to this big moment and I messed it up, like, you know. And I also felt really bad because my coach drove me all the way down. And I just felt really bad. Like, I felt really bad. I feel like I wasted everyone's time. I just was really doubtful with myself. And I was just like, I don't want to do track anymore. Like, I don't want to do it anymore.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, here with Linnea Knox, talking about her experience at Nationals as a sophomore.
Yes. So at that moment, you know, I was just like, I don't want to do track and field anymore. Like, I went home, I just busted out in tears. I was just so upset. And the first person I called, obviously, was my sister, because she was support. Like I said, she's been supporting me since like my whole athletic career started, like not even with just track, but just volleyball as well. And, you know, she was also the person who pushed me to really go out and get myself involved in as much as I could, like even from middle school. Like, she's like, make sure you're involving yourself in as much as possible. Like, I got myself involved in band. Like, I was just doing everything. And I also was doing dance. I've been dancing since I was really young. So she, you know, just trying to, like, not exactly like follow in her footsteps, but like, you know, do certain things that she's taught me to do. Like, and the person that I'm made out to be is really from her. And she's coached me up from young to just be like, get yourself involved in as much as you can. Like, make sure you're in everything that you do. Like, make sure you put your best foot forward. Like, never like do things halfway, like always do it 100%. And so I called her and she was like, you know, what happened? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, you know, I false started. Like, I'm so upset. Like, it was just really hard for me to get my words out because I was so upset. But, you know, she was just like really supportive of me. And she was like, listen, like, this is your first year ever going to a big meet. This is your first year doing the sport in general. Like, do not be so hard on yourself. Like, you're going to qualify again. You're going to go out and do amazing. Like, just don't give up, because in that point I was just ready to just stop everything. I didn't want to do it anymore. And what made it even worse was that I knew that they were like, each race is like broadcasted, so like they videotape it and they put it on like online and anybody can like search it up and like watch the video. So I was like, oh my gosh, like this is gonna be here forever. And that kind of like added on to it. It was worse for me knowing that. And but yeah, she ended up talking me into sticking with the sport. And I'm just like, okay, like, whatever. Like, I know it's going to take a while for me to, like, get over it. And I literally couldn't, like, nobody around me can bring it up or else I'll be, like, so triggered by it. Like, no one can talk about it. No one can bring it up. And if they did, like, I would just shut down. Like, I couldn't talk about it. But now I could talk about it openly, obviously, because, you know, I've grown so much from that moment. And I've made up for it so many times. But she was like, yeah, you're gonna make up for it. Like, don't worry about it. Like, I still love you. You're still great. Like, you're amazing. And so I'm really glad that I listened to her and I took her advice and stuck with the sport, because that following year, So they have indoor nationals and they have outdoor nationals. Mm-hmm. So that was indoor nationals. And then outdoor nationals come around and I'm nervous again. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, but it was nervousness that I had inside me, but it was also like determination. I was like, okay, people are doubting me. People are like, you know, saying whatever they have to say about the last situation that happened indoor, but now it's time to redeem myself and I'm going to go out there and prove myself. So I'm like, okay, I step on the line. I'm really nervous still, but I'm like, okay, like now is the time to show these people who I am. So I competed at the outdoor nationals in Philly, and it was with the brand New Balance. And I was doing, I was in the Rising Stars division for the 100 meter hurdles. And all I remember is like, once the gun went off, I was just like, you gotta get out. Like, but also I told myself, be patient. Like, don't try to go out there too fast. Cause then you're going to, the same situation is going to happen again. So I'm like, just be patient. And as soon as you actually hear that gun go off, you let all loose. Like, you go out there and give it your all. So, once that was happening, you know, I crossed the finish line and I didn't see anybody ahead of me. So I'm like, it was a real surreal moment for me. Cause I was like, did I just win? Like, did I just win nationals? Like, and so the camera's all up in my face. Like, everybody who wins first place, like, it's this cameraman who's like all up in your mm-hmm. face. Like, watch, like, they follow you until you leave. And, you know, I was just really like, same thing that happened indoor, like when all the emotions hit me at once. It was mm-hmm. the same thing, but it was more positive, you know, and just allowing that to be in my memory and just be like, listen, like everything that has happened to you, you know, like you have learned to flip it and make it positive and make up for that. So I think that, you know, that moment is also like a moment that I would forever, you know, keep in my mind. I'll forever be able to talk about it freely now. And I hope, like, hopefully it inspires like younger kids who like feel like they're a mess up, like in any sport, like not even just track and field, football, basketball, whatever it is. Like, if you have moments where you mess up, like you have a bad game or you have a bad meet, like, do not stop there. Because if I would have made that mistake and stopped, like, I wouldn't be here today speaking to you. Like, I wouldn't be here having all the accomplishments that I have, you know? So it means a lot to me knowing that I can, like, actually talk about it now and I could talk about it freely without, you know, being triggered anymore. So I feel like that was the biggest first hurdle for me that I had to overcome. And I'm really glad that I listened to my sister and continued the sport.
You touch on a lot of things in regards to sports and athletics, especially for a person who is very young.
Yeah.
Social anxiety.
Yeah.
The pressure that you put on yourself. You know, what would be your advice to someone that's young out there that is being super hard on themselves right now?
I would say, because I've been there and, you know, part of me is still there, but as long as you're seeing because you're not going to always see progress. Like, progress is not going to always be there. Like, you're not going to always win. You're not going to always, you know, have good days. But I feel like you have to really get in tune with, you know, like whatever sport you're involved in, like whatever kid is listening to this right now. If it's volleyball, basketball, football, whatever, like you need to come up with some type of like regimen to do before your game or before your meets, before your races, because I feel like that really helps, you know, boost up your confidence. And, you know, confidence is key, like going out there, you know, putting your best foot forward and, you know, just having the mindset of, you know, even if I go out here and I lose, like I still know that I put my best foot forward, you know, no matter what. And I'm a Christian, so I believe in like prayer and, you know, just praying to God, especially in your head. It doesn't have to be out loud, just saying like, allow me to just go out here and leave it all out on the field, on the track, on the court, whatever it is. And that's basically it. Like, and it doesn't have to be like complicated. It doesn't have to be anything that's like long and drawn out. Just as long as you come up with some type of regimen to do before your races or before your meets, like that will set you up to be as successful as you can be. Like, no matter how you perform or whatever, just know that if you know in your heart, you know, I did my best, then there's nothing, nobody can ever be mad at you for doing your best. Like, as long as you put your best foot forward, there's nothing that anybody can say or do.
You also touched on keeping busy.
Yes.
Outside of the athletics and academics, extracurriculars. How helpful are those distractions?
Really helpful. Very, very helpful. As far as like volunteering and getting involved with the community, I definitely support that as well. And I feel like a lot of kids now, they don't have like the access to knowing how to get out and getting themselves involved in the community, which is really why I'm glad that I went to the school that I went to. New Haven Academy really sets their children up to go out there and get involved, like no matter what city you're in, because it's an inter-district school, like kids from all over go there. So like kids from Hamden, New Haven, whatever, they go there and they literally send out links. We have a system called Jupiter Ed where they send out messages where it's like, hey, like such and such is having a soup kitchen, you can volunteer here, or such and such is having like a diaper giveaway, or like there's always something that they have in there to like, if you go to New Haven Academy, you can never say that, you know, you never had a chance to get involved with the community, because there's always an opportunity out there. Like they send you direct links to like click the link and sign up for yourself and sign up for a friend, whatever, and go and get involved. So there's no excuse. Also, like the internet is free. Like all the kids now are on their phones, TikTok, whatever. Like literally all you have to Google is volunteer opportunities near me. And they all come up. So, and then also on social media, like people are really advocating for different organizations that support the volunteering. So I feel like it's everywhere. Like you can, it's not hard to get involved with the community. And also creating things yourself. Like, you know, like if you get a group of friends who are really passionate about giving back to the community, you guys can literally set up anything and go out, go to a church, a local homeless shelter, and just give back. Like you don't even necessarily have to get yourself involved with the organization. Like but I feel like it's all about what you want and your drive for helping other people. If the drive is not there, then, you know, it is what it is. But as far as like kids who really want to get out there and be involved in their community and give back, there's 100 different ways you can do it. So
this is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I am Jose Candelario here with Linnea Knox, hurler, state champ, college bound student. How was your last year here, and how much, you know, how do you feel after all the hard work you put in?
I'd say by far senior year was the hardest year for me. I feel like once it started, I had a certain expectation about how it went, but everything was just like thrown at me, like one after another, after another, after another. And I feel like it was hard, but it was also the most rewarding year ever, because it's like, if you can go through all that you went through this year and you still made it out and you're still standing and you're still like here and, you know, telling other people your story, telling people your story, like you can do anything, you know. So getting involved, like with everything that I've gotten involved with this year and just like persevering through everything, it really set me up to like, when I go into college, like there's certain things that I can and cannot do and I should and shouldn't do. And that's like in all aspects, like especially friendship wise, like I've learned a lot of lessons. Not everybody's your friend. You know, some people have hidden animosity, some people have hidden envy towards you, and you know, that's okay. But I think it's also important to know how to work around that. And, you know, I'm a very positive person. You know, like I said, any negative thing that happens to me, I will find a way to flip it and make it positive. It's like, okay, I lost a friend, but I know that, or I lost a couple friends, I lost a friend, whatever it is, like, that's fine. But at the end of the day, I didn't lose myself, you know, like, and that's a positive for me. Like, you know, if people are talking negative about, you know, how you are as an athlete, like, that's fine, because I've made myself proud. I've made my coaches proud. I've made people around me proud. I've put my name out there multiple times. My name is in the record book for Hillhouse Track and Field. Like, so it doesn't matter, you know, and just learning all the lessons that I've learned and just taking positives from every single life lesson that, you know, life has thrown me this year. So senior year, it just sets me up for later on in life and just like being able to know like, okay, like if you went through all that senior year, you can go through anything. Like, and my sister tells me that all the time. Like if you went through all of that, even not even just senior year, like from sophomore year, if you can go through all of that and you're still standing, you're still fine, you're still, you know, okay, you can go through anything and make it through. So I think that's the most important take that I got from senior year was, no matter what you go through, as long as you're still pushing through and saying like, I'm going to get through this, like, and being able to just persevere through that, I think that's the biggest lesson. And I'm grateful that I was able to go through the things that I went through. And if I can do senior year all over again, I wouldn't change anything, because it made me it makes me even more who I am. So, yeah.
So you're state champ at the 400 hurdles? No,
100 meter hurdles.
100 meter hurdles.
Yes. Yeah. 55 for indoor. I'm also a sprinter. I'm a sprinter, a jumper, and a hurdler. So I do long jump. I do the regular sprints. Like indoor, it's long jump, 55, and 55 meter hurdles. And then outdoor, it's the sprints, the 100 meter, just the regular 100 meter, which is just a sprint, 100 meter hurdles, and long jump. So those were my top three events. Yeah.
And you placed them all. Did you do nationals this year?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
Too busy. Too.
It was just a lot of things just got interfered. A lot of things got in the way. Especially like on my coach's behalf, you know, they had a situation that was going on, so they weren't able to bring their athletes to nationals. But it's fine. You know, I was still able to compete at one of the highest level meets. So I'm really grateful for everything that they have allowed. They've set up their athletes to, you know, be the best athletes that they can. And I'm sure that if they were able to bring us, then they would have brung us. But it just wasn't. The timing was just off. Yeah.
Okay. The college process. I know that was difficult. You probably were recruited by multiple colleges, multiple different offers.
Yeah.
How was that decision-making process with you and your family?
It was really, really tough. It was a really long and, to me, drawn-out process. It was just like, I'm just ready for this to be over. But it was also really, it was also like a good opportunity to connect with coaches who are at the higher level and to see, you know, how they think of me as an athlete and like kind of like the outside looking in. But having talks with like my mom and my sister, like they were basically saying, like, you need to make sure that whatever colleges are offering you, like you need to look at the school as a whole. You need to look at how many students are going there. You know, do you want a big school, a medium sized school, a small school? Look at their athletics, obviously, and then look at their academics as well. But then also it all came down to money. Whichever college was the most interested in me, whichever one, you know, gave me the most money and allowed me to, if it was a college where I knew it was good all around academically, athletically, it was a good size school for me. And like, I feel like I can excel as an overall person, then that was the college for me. And I ended up choosing Georgia Southern. And I think that university in general is just, it's amazing. Like, and I haven't even been there yet, but just knowing that, you know, having the special connection with my coach that I haven't even like met in person yet is, it's crazy for me. Like just being able to see like, wow, like I can already tell that you're a great coach, that you know, you're really in tune with your athletes. You're really involved with your athletes. You care about not like when he looks at his athletes, he also looks at people. Like, these are not only athletes, these are also regular people, you know, and they have feelings, they have other lives outside of the sport. And just him being able to exert that into his program, I think that touches me personally on a deeper level. And I feel like that's why the university that I chose was the best for me, the best pick personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are your expectations for yourself and what goals have you set?
So career-wise, I want to become a nurse practitioner, specifically with pediatrics with younger kids. So I really hope that I can be able to, I feel like it's going to be sophomore year all over again, like learning to juggle. You're a track athlete. Now you're in college now. So everything is like amped up times 10. And you also have, you know, your regular college life, like just juggling it all. I feel like it's something I'm going to have to get used to again, but it's nothing. I mean, clearly college is something I haven't experienced before, but it's the same concept. Same thing with high school, like getting myself involved with a sport is for the first time. And then juggling athletics on top of that, like just learning how to like eventually get the hang of it and get the groove of it. It's like, okay, I can figure out how this is going to go now. So, being able to be successful in my career with, my life after college and also track, like, if the Olympics is in, you know, and written in my story and God has that for me, then that's what's going to happen. But as far as like college life, I want to make sure that I'm putting out what the best I can, you know, making sure that I compete to the best of my abilities at track meets and conference, and just getting out there and putting my name in the history books again and, you know, just trying to create a name for myself all over again in college. So I'm really excited for it, though. I am.
Very good. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. This has been a delightful conversation with Hill House track star Linnea Knox. Thank you very much for your time. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and like always, thank you for your listen.